I'd like to call the regular business meeting of the Monroe City Council for Tuesday, January 21st, 2014, to order. Have our city clerk call the roll.
Council members present and establishing a quorum are Cuddaback, Rasmussen, Pamp, Davis, Gamble, and Gehring. Student representative Visotka is also in attendance.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuddaback, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I would be honored.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now is the time for comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Ms. Smoot, do we have anybody signed in? Okay. Is there anybody that would like to come up and speak that has not signed in? Yes, please approach the podium and give your name and your address for the record. Right over there.
I moved out in May of last year. I have an apartment now. I'm selling my house because I recently lost my husband and I needed to move. Mm-hmm. So I'm living in an apartment. My question here is, on my bill, I'm being charged for garbage and recycle. You don't pick up any garbage at my home. You don't pick up any recycle. Why am I having a charge?
Okay. Would you like to go ahead and respond?
Yeah, we'll get your contact information and have our finance department talk with you about that.
Pardon me?
If we can get your contact information, we can have our finance department talk with you about that. Up here at this forum, we don't have your billing information or the ability to pull up.
Well, I was here today, and the young lady told me that I had to come tonight to speak to the council as why there's a charge still on when you're charging for a service you're not doing.
Ms. Nelson from our finance department, she's our director. Ms. Nelson?
I'm guessing what she's referring to is that the city, by code, has mandatory garbage service, mm-hmm. whether you're in your city limits, whether you're getting the service or not. And if everyone just gets your garbage charges, whether you're getting the service or not. If her house is vacant, I think she could put it on vacancy status, which would give her a solution for it. Did they talk to you about vacancy status at all? That would give you a 90-day decree.
Oh, I had that during the summer.
Okay.
You pay a minimum during those 3 months. Yes, I did have that.
That expired,
and the bill went right back up to $120. And I don't mind paying that, but the deal is, why am I paying for service I'm not getting? I don't think that's fair.
I believe the code was originally written for health reasons to make the garbage service mandatory for all homes.
That doesn't sound very fair. Is there anything that can be done about that?
You would require
sanitation issues.
Okay. Jean, do you have? So it is something that's required by law.
Correct.
And it would take a change of our code, and would it take a change of the contract that we have with the garbage collector?
Potentially, but it was a discussion that was had at council, and it had to do with sanitation of the city. If you don't have mandatory garbage cleanup, there's a potential that you'd have garbage building up in people's yards, you'd have rat infestation, all those things that go along with that, which create potential health concerns. And that's the discussion that council had years ago, and that's why it's in our municipal code. And I think it's in the contract, it's called out as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Does the council feel justified in charging for a service they're not rendering? My garbage cans are not out. They never pick them up because there's nobody living there. My house is being maintained. My neighbors are cutting my lawn for me. And my house is being shown. I was supposed to have sold it the January 28th. We were supposed to close. And last week the potential buyer backed out. So it's back on the market again. But
just a second. So, Jean, can you verify and get back?
Certainly.
With her?
Diane, if you could get her contact information before she leaves, that'd be great.
And then we'll have an update emailed to council. Council members, do you have any questions? Okay. So what we will do is staff will take a look at your situation, and they will get back to you, and they'll send an email out to the council members. And if there is an interest in looking at the contract or the code, if this is what we are limited to, then council may opt to bring that back forward for discussion. I think that's the most that we're able to do for you tonight.
Yes.
So thank you very much for bringing this forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other members of the public that would like to come forward? Yes, sir. Please come forward and state your name as well as your address for the record.
My name is Patrick Cooney, and my address is 1 North Snohomish there. I own a couple of places in Monroe, one off of South Kelsey and one in the Crackens. Nothing to do with that. I've been managing properties here for about 20 years, and I've run into a situation that's kind of hard to overcome. I oversee the retreat condos. And very similar to the minimum usage type of situation that's going on, we're having a problem getting the bills paid to where your system is happy. Not getting them paid, but getting them paid so that they're there in Seattle to avoid the late fee. Now, we are mailing them 7 days in advance. And what I was trying to discuss with Ms. Nelson is that, hear me a lot, is that it's very different for you to collect from 60 units than from one single family household. Her response was, we have to treat everyone the same. And my response is we're not. And the analogy I used then and I'll use now is paving, because I'm very familiar with that business. It's like calling up Lakeside and asking them to compete with a one or two man shop to fix a pothole. Their call out fee will be far greater, will take far more time. They are just not set up for that. They're set up for doing entire roads. They're gonna have a 15 man crew out to do a 2 foot pothole. Doesn't work. They are different. Just like this is, it's very different to collect from that many people who are also mailing their bills. So regardless of whether it's this way or that way, we're all dependent upon this mail system sooner or later. As much as we'd like to all be electronic and just pushing things in, it's not that easy. And I'm just trying to see if the notice here from July 1st states, postmarks do not count. The payment must be received by the due date. And yet, you jump to someone, let's say a little bit bigger, like the IRS. They do count. They do count. The other comment I heard from Ms. Nelson was, it's the law. Well, bad law begets bad law. It doesn't mean it's right. So I'm kind of just questioning if everyone is the same, because I don't think they are. And two, maybe there should be some differentiation, whether it be a 15 units or greater. 10, I don't know. You folks have been around the system more than I have. But you start getting up in the numbers, and there's going to be a difference. There's going to be a lag time. And that's my question, is can we get some leeway where if you are postmark at 7 days, by whatever, pick a number, prior, that you don't get a late fee. That's my question.
Thank you. Ms. Nelson, is the, he mentioned it being something in law that we don't take postmark. Okay, is it in our city code then?
I offered it, I did, we do take the option of doing electronic check over the website, but they do not care to do that. So that way they wouldn't have to pay for the postage or rely on the postal system to get it to us. But they, because we have a number of ways that we will accept payment. We have direct debit, we have payment in person, we have over the phone, we have through our website. We have a number of ways that we'll accept payment.
Not to interrupt, but when you do property management, it's wonderful that the banks offer you these debit cards. Most people in HOAs, they don't want you to have your their money on your debit card where you make them pay for your debt. That's just not how it works. So anything like that, that is not how the real estate law in this state works at all. If I was caught with a debit card from one of my clients, I probably wouldn't have a license very long. It just doesn't work like that. That's one side to it.
So that we're, again, this is comments from citizens, so it's an opportunity to come in and share thoughts and everything, and I want to avoid getting into too much dialogue on the side, but I guess I would, could you speak with him a little bit about those alternatives, and then I'd like to hear a little bit about what, you know, what our code requires and what the downside would be to accepting a postmark. That, you know, it seems like we've made a decision on the local level that that we won't accept a postmark, so there must have been a reason why. And I, for me, if you could first talk to him about a specific situation and then maybe send an email to me and administrator and council and just kind of give us just, this is why we have the postmark, and this would be the consequences of not having the postmark. We could then take a look at it, and if there's a need to change the code or an efficiency that can be gained, we can certainly look at doing that. Both of these, a change in the law, if a change in the law is going to occur for both of you, it takes some time to do. I think it's reasonable to ask the question and let council see what the response is and see if there's an interest in making changes. But it's written in code for a reason, or maybe it was just something that was arbitrarily put into the code for some reason some time ago, and let's take a look at it and see what the change is if we make a change. So,
thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, the only thing I would ask in that is that, you know, typically, at least in the past, when a lot of times we'll get a specific situation and like, wow, why the heck would we do that, or why was that, you know, done? And usually there was some reason why, and it was usually an unintended consequence by, you know, not having that in place. So the one thing I would ask was, when we get that information, if we could look at that too, of, you know, the reasons, you know,
yes,
if we have that, the why behind. Because usually that's, whether it was the laundry or the, you know, there was always a unintended consequence for that. Usually explained it. Sometimes not, and that makes it real easy. But
okay,
thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
And thank you for coming. Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak? Anybody else? Last call. All right. So we're now going to move on to our student representative report.
So last week we had a really big week at the high school, so I wanted to let you know that. Throughout the week we had our Free the Children Week, and so that was two big fundraisers. The first one was What Does the Fox Say? And they played it during lunches. And if kids wanted to shut up the fox, they had to pay a certain amount of money. So, like, the more money we got, the longer the fox would stay quiet for. And the first couple days, it, like, you had people leaving the cafeteria, and it was a disaster. And but then, like, we got one girl one day, like a freshman, who came in. She had, like, a check for, like, $120. And so, like, that shut the fox up for the entire day. And so then, like, after that, it got a lot better. And, like, we had, like, started having, like, shout-outs for people who donated money. And, like, if you donated, like, a dollar, we keep the fox quiet for like 30 seconds or like a minute or something. And then the second fundraiser was our teacher karaoke. So there were five teachers who volunteered, and the winner, like the teacher who had the most donations, had to sing in the pep assembly on Friday. And so together those fundraisers earned about $450. And so the teacher that won the karaoke competition was Mr. Atkinson. And so in the pep assembly, he sang "Hit Me Baby One More Time" by Britney Spears. And it was hysterical. He had like a shirt like tied up. And but it was a huge thing. It was hilarious. And then also on Friday, we had our Battle of Bands. And so there were eight bands, seven like all student bands, and like there's one from like I think it's the Rock Church, and then there was also one like student teacher combination band. And this year we sold 360-ish tickets, and which was like 40 more than last year. And it was right after the basketball game against Kamiak, which we won in overtime, so that was really cool. And so we earned $1,090 in ticket sales, and then we earned $625 in just like straight donations. And the band, like each band had its own box, and so the band that had the most donations at the end of the night won. And the winner was called The Project, and they had, I want to say like 160 donations, I think. Don't quote me on that. I don't have a straight number for that, but they had a lot. And they won by $6. And it was a band of all senior guys who, and it was part of like one of their culminating challenge projects. So that's why they called it The Project. And so that was it was a really good performance. And then we also had $175 that we made in food sales and face painting. And then, during the basketball game, we had a miracle minute, and with that, we made $176. So total throughout the week, we earned about $2,400 to go towards Free the Children. Mm-hmm. And so that was really cool, because that was just in one short little week. And then next week starts our cat fight against Snohomish. And all the proceeds for that will go towards the American Heart Association. And so it'll be a wrestling match at Monroe on Thursday against Snohomish. And then Friday there's a home girls game against Snohomish, but the cat fight will be at Snohomish this year, so the big game will be the boys game at Snohomish. And so there will be like t-shirt sales, and then there's going to be another miracle minute. And then at the end of the week, whoever wins or has earned the most money will win. And like the whole week is going to be like, at Monroe, we're turning it into Heart Week, so it'll be like awareness and like fundraising, and it should be pretty cool. So I'll update you guys again on that next week, let you know how it goes. That's all I have. Any questions?
Thank you. Council, do you have any questions, comments?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Nice job.
Okay, next up we have is our consent agenda. There is nothing being pulled from the agenda. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to accept approve the consent agenda.
Second. I have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, and a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Next up we have is new business. The first item that we have on new business is council policy regarding economic development. I just wanted to hand out, I see that there's more information that was placed at the dais this evening. Because the information that was handed out last week talked about vision and whatnot, I just wanted to just hand out what is currently adopted with the city, just so
you
got
that
in front of you as well. And Councilmember Gehring had requested this, so I'll go ahead and let Councilmember Gehring begin. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. Really, I do appreciate it. Council, I in advance appreciate the opportunity to talk about this tonight. Also, I just put together some things that I could, you know, that I could remember the things that have been accomplished because of our focus on economic development. That's the handout that you see here. Last week, just some of my thoughts. Okay, what is the city about? And just a little window into my world as I'm thinking about these things, so you know where I'm coming from. What are we about? And we have this set of probably 6, maybe even 8 years ago. I do remember talking about this a number of years ago, the one that the mayor just handed out. You know, is that still accurate? And as I think about what we are and what we've been about, the gains that we've made in the last few years, why has that been? Focus on customer service, focus on economic development, focus on paying down our debt. These are the things that have brought success for us, getting back up, or at least close to the waterline. We're not quite there yet. So as I think about, you know, and so backing up from there, okay, well, what is our city vision? What is our city mission statement? What are the things, what are the values that we as a council have in making the policies that we're going to make, you know, to continue to move the city forward? That's what I gave to you last week. Some of these heavily borrowed from, I don't believe in reinventing the wheel if we don't have to. Saw some things I liked from some other cities, in addition to what I knew that we already, you know, felt like we stood for here. And so that's from last week. Certainly hope you had at least a chance to look at it. Just want to hear just what you thought about it. Agree, not agree. And we have this, which is currently there. I would certainly love to entertain the idea of incorporating some of that into what the mayor handed out tonight. This is what we have today, and it's in line with we're making the updates here in the next month and a half with regard to economic development as part of the comprehensive plan update. So I'm timely with that as well. So anyway, what was in the agenda packet, what I handed out last week, this is our city. Here's our city. Here's where we've come. Here's what, at least, you know, in my thinking, here's kind of what we're about. Everyone may not agree, but, you know, wanted to throw it out there, to, you know, for discussion. And then this is a list of everything we've, probably not even everything, the things I could think of with regard to economic development, the things that, while we don't have someone on staff anymore to promote that, at least inside the city, there has been such a benefit to it. It's our job to see that what has been working, in my opinion, that we continue in that direction, that at least there's an aspect of that in whatever policy we're moving forward, that what has worked, what is bringing us up to the waterline, what's getting us through the worst economic time in our nation, it's worked. So let's just make sure we don't lose that as we move forward as a city, and especially during this time when we're going through the comprehensive plan again, making sure that this is something that we don't lose sight of, essentially. So. And to that, so the list that I handed out, some of the culture is one of the biggest things, a culture of customer service. We've heard people that said would never have done business with the city of Monroe again, you know, and they've been back. And they said that they would do business with us again, and there's the customer service has improved. We have an excellent staff, things like that. Acting on issues that business has in dealing with the city. We've changed procedures, we've changed policies, we've changed codes and plans to make ourselves a more economically friendly business city. Creating a culture where that's just how we've always done it ceases to exist. I got the sense that that's not the way we were operating. And that has seemed to work so far. Probably most importantly, fourth bullet point, paying off city bond debt. This is the biggest benefit in my mind to why the focus on economic development has been successful. Some reasons there that we have below. Debt and the reduction of debt frees up our general fund, and it ultimately comes down to cash flow. There's things that we've always wanted to do. There's things that we've always wanted to invest in as a city. We've had plans for campus master plan, for downtown, for all these things. We simply can't do those without cash. And while we have debt on the books, those things just gather dust. Frankly, I'm tired of a lot of those things gathering dust, and when we continue to put make ourselves friendly to business, when we continue to make policies that are friendly towards that, being a city that's open for business, inviting employers, inviting housing, inviting education, recreational activities, that is going to continue us being an attractive city, people are going to want to invest here, and we're ultimately going to be able to get these things done without having to further burden our residents, if you will. We're a little bit short. I think we're close. I think we have about 3 million, 4 million left. We're pretty close.
4.8, yep.
4.8. I mean, we're super close. And we were over 12, I believe. I mean, we're so close. I mean, we're so close to being here. And some of the land transactions that we have in the pipe, are going to continue to get us right there. That's just going to get us here. Cash flow on top of that is going to get some of the other things that we've been talking about done. Talked a little bit about EB5. Those kind of possibilities, if there's still, regardless of who came and presented, just the concept in and of itself, getting private capital into Monroe to get some of these other things done. I think that's the way that we can get it done, but that can, that continued focus, if there's still interest with the rest of council with that, I certainly hope those are some things that would be of value to you. Last 4 years, H3O, Natural Factors, Providence, Walmart, Five Guys, Discount Tires, another project that shall not be named. Corporations are moving here, RV, housing, morning rent apartments. We've created a culture that says yes. We've made ourselves unique because of out-of-the-box thinking. So I'm hoping that we can continue that with the policies that we put forward, that we can incorporate some of this into the economic development section of the comprehensive plan, that some of the items that I wrote down, whether we all agree on them or not, we might include them into a city vision, mission, and council goal statement. So, with that, I'd love to hear others' thoughts, and I do appreciate you guys listening to me. Thank you.
Council members? Council member Camp?
Thank you. I have to echo everything you said. The results I've seen in the last 4 years watching the development of this town has been incredible. The reduction of our debt, some of these items I didn't even know had happened. I didn't know that Buzzin Corporation moved their corporate offices here. It just shows how the economic development planning has made just an enormous impact in the city, and I agree with everything you've said. The other thing, and I've heard this mentioned, but you don't mention it here, the concept of if you build it, they will come, doesn't necessarily work. If you build it and then go out and get somebody and say, this is what we've got, this is the environment we've got for construction, for building your business in Monroe, which was the philosophy that I heard several times from people in the economic development group, is a definite advantage. We need to be able to go out and ask people, suggest people that they come here. We can't just sit back and wait for someone to look over a map and say, oh, Monroe, an interesting place. Let's see if it's a good place to go. In my case, you're preaching to the choir on this, and I agree with everything, including your last statement. We can't afford to go back to the traditional bureaucracy. It is not going to work. We can't afford to go back to a $12 million debt. We can't afford to just not take the steps to make this a thriving community. That's my point. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thanks. Any other? I know I just handed it out. So.
Any other council members? Anything else?
I read fast.
Initial thoughts, anything? Yeah.
Councilmember Gamble.
No, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I echo and behind, and over the last 2 years I've been a supporter of. I think that, I'm just was making red marks,
at my bad
trying to read. No, it was not grammatical corrections. Okay. I guess all I would say is that there's some things, there's some I know there's some passion around certain issues that are personal.
That's my personal thing.
Yes, and I think one of the things that we just need to, we just need to be careful. Yeah, I agree. Listening and planning are simply not enough to make it happen, but they still need to be an integral part of the process. So it's
absolutely,
it's totally one of those things that we need to make sure that we're, what is the right balance? And I think that's what we need to strive for. Because if you go out and just execute without some sort of plan, then you end up with a city that doesn't really have, what we need to have a vision. Kind of the old Stephen Covey philosophy, work with the begin and end in mind, right?
what's the plan, and then work our way back from there. So, I mean, I get, you know, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time, I just would want to make sure that, you know, we're talking about values and what goes in our mission statement and how it links. That's very important, that we do have to have a very sound, how do we listen, you know, to the public and to the constituents, and how do we incorporate that into the planning piece, and then how do we do it in a manner where we can still be quick and we can still be nimble and move forward, because all of us have a desire, you know, to do that, but doing it in a very, you know, fiscally responsible way where we include people's input and we make sure that people feel a part of the process. That is, to me, very much, you know, much important. And I agree with your, you know, your last, the last paragraph in there about, you know, hey, I don't think anybody up here wants to be back in the, you know, a $12 million deficit type, you know, type scenario. So it really is, you know, there's a variety of different ways that we can go about this, and, you know, that's why you have 50 million different political views and, you know, different ways of going, you know, going about it. But if we can, as we go to structure, there's some of these that are structural decisions or something that are different ways of going about it. And then, you know, I think if we can agree on the core tenets of this is what we're, striving for, I don't know if we can get away from that. Well, I think we've got to have a, economic development manager as opposed to a, you know, a community development director or whatever the case may be. If we can really kind of speak to what are the core principles we want, get out of the, you know, the titles and the whatever, I think that'll help, you know, with the conversation. We get everybody, you know, lockstep moving forward when it's well past you and I and everybody else that's sitting here.
Very good.
All right. It's my very quick.
I know.
Sorry.
I know.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring, thank you for doing this. And you're right. I mean, listen to everyone else here, and we're absolutely right. I mean, this is where we've come over the last couple of years. Getting out of debt is great. It's a great feeling. I guess where I'm seeing this is it's a good starting point for the discussion, and I think it's going to be, you know, ultimately everyone, whether it be us as council, you know, staff, citizens, I mean, we all want to get to point A. It's how do we get there? Do we take the red line or the green line type of scenario? And I think that's where the collaboration is going to come into play. And being open to having the even mix of, you know, economic development, economic and planning, I mean, everything that we're up here discussing. I don't think that there's a surefire, perfect way of doing this at all. So,
exactly.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I think this is a definitely a good conversation starter and something to start with. And let's build off this and, you know, work collaboratively with everyone, council, mayor, staff, citizens, and, you know, let's put something into place.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Start with a logo.
I agree. Councilmember Gamble said we could start by changing the logo.
That's right.
I think we're all in agreement there.
Okay, any other comments from council? Ms. Rapelka, we have coming up on Thursday can you tell us a little bit about the comprehensive planning process, please? And before I do that, Councilmember Davis has pushed his button, so I'm going to go ahead and let him talk first. He's now ding, blinking ding, ding, it on and off.
Ding, ding.
Was that Morse code, sir?
Yes. Just look at me. Now, let me just echo what's been said. I think this is all good, and I can't say anything I don't agree with. But one thing I would really like all of us to be in agreement on, and I hope that we all are, is that remainder of debt, that 4.8 million. We're almost there. We need to keep pushing until that's gone, because I think you make a great point. We've got a lot of things we want to do. There's a lot of things out there, and we can't honestly do that if we've got that debt, because with that debt there, if we go ahead and do other things, we're pushing that debt down the road to somebody else's pocket, basically. I think it would be much better if we just eliminate that first off, then we can start doing some of these things, the great ideas that have come up here and we've seen over the last few years, and we're all, you know, excited about a lot of different things that can be done here. we want to see those things done. So, yeah, and I, you know, I just like to see that out of the way and done and behind us, and then let's move forward from that point on. So, that's it.
So. I'm sorry, Paul, you're going to need to stand just a little bit longer. Councilmember Gamble, you can have a seat if you'd like.
No, I'm sorry. I just wanted to echo that. You know, I could not agree more, but I think that's one of the things also from the planning piece, because, I mean, we still have so many things that come in, like, you know, even the, you know, working with the school districts and with the fields and those different things where we don't want to, you know, we still want to conduct business and still be looking towards the future. And I think that's where the plan comes in place, making sure that we have the right vision, because if we keep that retirement of the money, which I wholeheartedly agree is our number one, on the docket for us, but at the same time we're considering, you know, all the other stuff and how it, you know, fits in, because we still got to do business, we still got to be, you know, we can't sit and do nothing and just pay, you know, debt. We still have to operate, we still have to look at where we're going to be, and you know, type of deal. But I think that's where making sure that we have, you know, a very good, accurate, you know, the planning piece of it comes into place. So, but I agree, it should be number one, the 4 point. Get me wrong.
Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. Again, I appreciate everybody jumping in. Almost everybody jumping in. Now that there's not necessarily an advocate, essentially the reason I bring it up, there were some of those ideas, and what do we do now when there is a new idea? What if we were all interested in EB5 again? So that kind of a thing where, wow, you know, if we could attract some capital, you know, the whole green card thing. I mean, it was such an interesting concept to me. It, at least there seemed like there was interest at the time as we talked about it, regardless of who was actually doing the presenting. That aside, the concept of that, is that viable? If we're going to take something on that, there isn't necessarily a staff person liaison for that anymore, so I would certainly be interested in you know, who that should be. Those kinds of things. If we have questions, if we just do this and then staff takes action, those kinds of things. What do we do? Who's the appropriate person to go to? When we want to kick one of these things around or get very serious about it. Quite frankly, I think we should look at EB5 again. You know, just one of those things. Setting up. What's the right process for that? So it doesn't get lost. I think there is a great vision. I think our planning department has done a great job. There's been a lot of things going on, and they're going to be busy with comprehensive plan stuff, so now's exactly the time, and you're saying, to be talking about it. Indeed. And Paul's over there.
So. That, Paul.
Okay, so...
Boom. Thank you.
So one of the things that you bring up is a vision... you mentioned that this was done some time ago. Sometimes the vision that a council puts together is done concurrent, or sometimes just before a comp plan process starts, the idea being that the two kind of happen at the same time. So that's why I thought that it would be appropriate to bring Paul up here to talk a little bit about where that process is starting right now.
Sure.
I was talking to our city clerk just before this meeting about how Redmond just went through their, and their process took a year. Was it a year?
Or more.
To put together their city vision. And again, this is one of the things that local government does as part of the 10-year update. Oftentimes a legislative body will do an update to its mission and values and things like that. And that may be one reason why this was done 8 to 10 years ago. It may have been 6 years ago.
I remember kicking this around, that's all, yeah.
But that is hanging in back, and that was in the mayor's office when I was looking through other things this weekend. I thought, well, you know, I should probably bring this forward just so you can see what's there right now. But anyway, I thought that it would be valuable for Paul to come up and just talk a little bit about where things are right now. Is Councilmember Gearing had pointed out, you've got a piece on economic development in February. The kickoff is on Thursday, and if you could just give a real brief overview of what that entails, I would appreciate it. Paul?
I'd be happy to. This process, this 2015 process has been underway for a few months, but it's just been behind the scenes, invisible work being done, prep work. So Thursday night really is the kickoff, the whole visible kickoff of this, and what that's going to deal with. And you did get a agenda for Thursday night. It's going to deal primarily with roughly land use and economic development as a beginning point. And in terms of the vision, actually one of the first steps in this Thursday night meeting is to, I'll say, bash the existing vision. Is, you know, does it still apply? Do we need to change it? What do we need to think about in terms of vision 10 years after that was formed? I mean, maybe it was even earlier than that. But there is a, you know, there's a series of planning capsules, or call it really workshops, and sometime in February, no date determined yet, is going to focus on economic development as one of the beginning focus areas for this whole process. And that's going to carry on all the way through. Thursday night will be some information about projections of the growth in residents and employment and so forth. That will give us some idea of what sort of bulk we're talking about in terms of area and where it should go. But it all does come back around to the everything else that becomes part of that vision and the quality of life and so forth. And now, I just had one comment in my head about economic development, and as a reminder that every staff person, every commissioner and park board member and council member are advocates for economic development every day in every conversation we have. I think it's important to keep that in mind also, to just set the set Monroe on the stage to say, you know, to make us noticed. And I should mention, one of my staff members found on Zillow something on Monroe, and they have this rating system, cold, warm, hot. And Monroe is hot. You know, the average house price has been increasing fairly steadily. And right now, this place, in the eyes of real estate perspective, is hot. So, something to crow about. But I think this discussion that you're having tonight is good timing, that we can get more of this Thursday night, and I hope most or all of you will be able to make it Thursday night. And that discussion will continue in more earnest in February and beyond. So the next month, 6 weeks, is going to be a lot about economic development. Okay. If I can just make one note about Thursday night, if you thought, would really appreciate it if you would spread out amongst the tables. Also ask that of the Citizens Advisory Group to spread themselves out amongst the tables. And we have seating for around 50, and I'm planning to scramble for more tables and chairs.
And have you noticed this is a council meeting in the event that we have a quorum?
It has been noticed for that there may be more than three council, planning commissioners, and park board members in attendance.
Okay.
We're covered. Just don't, you know, try to avoid sitting with more than three of you together.
Right. And one of the reasons why we do this is for citizen outreach and business outreach. And so it is one of those fine lines is that we as elected officials, when you attend these, that it is valuable to hear from people. So that's just a note. Do you have anything else? And then I'm going to call in council members.
I don't think so.
Okay, so you don't need a report on this when we get to department reports.
Unless you want to.
Unless you want to do it again. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. Paul, can you remind me who's on the Citizen Advisory Committee? I know you've told us. I can't remember off the top of my head. So I know who, you know, if we're supposed to spread out, don't sit next to so-and-so, right? Yeah.
So I remember, we have like 14.
All the planning commissioners.
That
took care of seven.
Yeah, instead of that, right.
Seven. Tom DiDonato, Sue Graska from Farm Save.
Sure.
Todd Nelson, lives in the foothills. Rick Hansen, builder. Anik from the chamber.
Katie Woods.
Katie Woods,
school board.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's great. That's great. It just a list of
ideas.
I'm
about to land one more. FYI, someone to represent the representative from the Hispanic community, which we do not have right now.
Mm. Sounds good.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Good, diverse group.
All right. Any other? Oh, Councilmember Cutterback.
Oh, thank you, Paul. You labeled this as a vision workshop. Is the intent coming out of the comp plan update to come out with a vision statement for Monroe? I mean, at the end result, because we currently don't have one on here, but is the intent in this to come out with?
Either affirm the vision that we have, which I'm sure is going to want some change from the last 10, 15 years, and form a new vision, we define a new vision.
Do we have a vision statement?
This is what was on the wall.
Okay.
Yeah. And I remember that when I was on council that there was a visioning process. I don't recall that it produced this document. But when I saw it on the walls this weekend, it was like, that's something that I had to bring forward because at least it's still on the walls, which means people are still operating under this.
Under it, yeah.
Also, you've got a vision statement and a land use plan that's going to talk about diversity and it's going to talk about quality of life and things like that. And a council may have a different vision statement that or a mission statement. Do you see what I'm saying? That your role is legislative, it's budgetary, it's, you know, it's policy. Thank you, Councilmember Gehring. And that so there may be differences between the two, and that's why I said before to use that word inform. The two sort of inform one another, and you will have the opportunity as council members to revise whatever comes forward from the Planning Commission and the Citizens Advisory Committee to reflect what your values are for the document after, you know, following citizen input. But I would say, and Paul, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I would say that the vision statements might be a little bit different between what council might adopt versus the comprehensive plan, but they should be similar.
Yeah, I'm just trying to wrap my head around that process and economic development. And, I mean, mission statement and vision statement are two separate things. So, and when I look at this, I don't see that we have a vision statement. I see we have a mission. And I'm not sure exactly when this was adopted. And then when I see this and I see what Councilmember Gehring came up with, is this council's vision? Is it the city's vision? Is it...
If I may.
Asking questions?
No worries then.
Yes, go for it, Councilmember Gehring. Thank you.
I was thinking this was something for us to kick around that, one, at least, council goals to talk about. My hope is that we would incorporate this also, at least parts of it, into the ones that we see fit into the comprehensive plan.
Okay.
That when I think of Monroe, to me this captures a vision of. I thought it was pretty broad myself. Now, maybe others won't think that as broad, but that was my thinking behind it.
So you're looking at incorporating some of this, some of the things that you feel are important for economic development into the comp plan, not having a separate document, a separate economic development policy for council or for the city. That's how I took this, was kind of a different policy.
And maybe policy shouldn't have been the agenda title. What's here in the agenda is more of the visioning, what are we about, from a council standpoint. If we're going to make decisions, let's back up from economic development. Okay, what is our vision as a city? Okay, now how does economic development play into that? So that's where I was trying to go by starting here and then adding this here. We have an economic development comprehensive plan element, which Paul is talking about, which, I hope these type of things will drive, what we want to continue to do, the successes that we've had. But I certainly, from this city vision statement, city mission statement, in my thinking, I'm hoping that can be something incorporated to replace some of these, because I think we're a much different town than we were 10 years ago.
Sure.
We're a different town than we were 4 years ago. So. My thinking. Thank you for yielding.
My feeling of when you were looking at a mission statement or a vision statement or really setting our goals, that is a long process that involves a lot of people in deciding what's our vision, because our vision should be a shared vision that we can all kind of get behind. It's a hopeful statement. It's a statement about what's in the future. Versus your mission is about what you're doing kind of right now, what you're currently doing. So, I'm just trying to wrap my arms around this,
sure,
and then the comp plan, and then what was on the agenda, which was an economic development policy.
Yeah, and that's,
so.
And I apologize for confusion.
No, that's okay. I'm just, and then I just wanted to make a statement that even though we don't have an economic development person right now, a manager with a title, I don't want us to assume that that economic development is not happening. We have a mayor, we have a city administrator, Brad, who writes lots of grants. It's about planning and development. There's pieces in a lot of the city employees' job that has been happening and will continue to happen. We have a real estate agent, Jane Lamford, who does an excellent job marketing property. So, you know, I don't want to give the impression that because we don't have a staff person who has that title, that economic development isn't happening or takes a back seat, or we don't have people out there championing Monroe to come and do business here. So I just think that's a point that needs to be made. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments, questions? Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
We're going to go ahead and move on to the second new business item, AB 1414, Council Legislative Priorities, and I think you have this one. Gene?
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. Council decided it would be great to have some staff, mayor, and a few council members to head to Olympia on the 29th and 30th and talk to our legislators. And there was discussion about coming up with a few priorities to bring down there. I included the brand new 2014 regional priorities of Snohomish County. This is nothing new. This is where all the cities get together and work with each other to come up with priorities that are fitting for all of us as a whole. And it has worked pretty well to bring this one document down representing everybody, including Economic Alliance, and Snohomish County signed on for the first time last year. And this is the document that will be pushed forward and has been pushed forward the last couple of years to Olympia. So I did want to remind council that we do have this document, and this one, like I say, is brand new, just came out on Friday. And on your table, there is a back-to-back copy of the brand new Snohomish County Cities document as well.
Very good.
And I just got that this afternoon as well. But for Olympia, the trip down there, we're looking for anything that is unique to Monroe is what we're looking for this evening that we could bring down there.
Okay. So, Gene, do you want to go briefly through this? I went to the Snohomish County Cities meeting on Thursday last week, and there was a very large turnout, by the way. Usually there's about a dozen people there. I think there were about 40 or so,
50, yeah.
40 to 50 people there. Mm-hmm. But this is a document that they had put together as things to promote needs here in Snohomish County. And they had, just like Gene had pointed out, encouraged us to come up with a couple items that are important to our own individual cities to just sort of add to this. So anyway, Gene, do you want to just go through this really quickly, a couple of the bullet points, because they may not have had an opportunity to go through it?
Yeah, again,
starting on the blue side.
On the blue side, yeah, thank you.
The blue and an orange.
What are you?
I'll just go over the main titles. Basically, education and workforce. We've talked about this before. Boeing is a big driver in the Northwest, obviously. Workers work there. They live and play in Monroe and other surrounding cities, so that's a big priority to all of us. A couple of bullet points that are new that were added is the second, actually the third point down, the new programs for the university centers and partners, that is new, and then the funding for the WATR Center.
Yeah, it's the Washington Aerospace Training and Research Center at Painfield.
Correct. Thank you. And if you recall past discussions, one of the things that is really hurting in the state of Washington for Boeing is to find engineers that are qualified to do that type of work. And the percentage of engineers that come out of the United States anymore is very low as compared to across the country, where, you know, Japan and China and other countries like that are bringing in engineers to work at Boeing here. So they're really working with the surrounding colleges and the like to get students trained to where they can work locally.
And if I could call everybody's attention to the third main bullet under education and workforce, you'll notice that increased investment in Everett Community College is also in there. When I had met with the EVCC about a week and a half, actually, no, it was the about 2 weeks ago, they were talking about how they wanted to, that they're outgrowing the space that they're in right now and that they're looking to move to a new location. So that's, you know, that's something that's important for us here in Monroe because we have the EVCC campus here. And that, of course, provides us with opportunities, provides our kids with opportunities to, you know, be more competitive in life and in the workforce. So, Gene.
Thank you. And then moving down to transportation infrastructure, again, this talks about all the major highways in the area. Not only does it address trucking, getting supplies to our own industrial park, but to Boeing as well and other communities' industrial parks. So on this list, it's quite extensive. Highway 2 is one of the listed projects on there, but a lot of them are the I-5 corridor, but of course we intersect with that. So that's basically what these priorities are on that.
Did you want to go over anything on the back, or
not really.
It's pretty much the same.
The main message is there's cooperation going on between all the entities, bringing one message forward to Olympia. And that's worked really well in the last few years because they have a lot of needs down there. And so it was decided a couple of years ago if we all went together as one big group, we'd get better action, and it seems to be paid off. So.
Okay. I do want to point out something on the orange side. We had a hearing last week on the marijuana laws here in town. The very last bullet, it says share new marijuana revenue. So, council, you know, again, this is sort of this is policy that you'd like to see. If council is not interested in sharing the marijuana revenue because you're not interested in marijuana here in Monroe, that's something that might be one thing that you might want us to scratch off the list. So anyway, do you have anything else? And then I'll go ahead and turn it over to council members. Okay. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you again, Mayor. Just a couple that came to my mind. First, and you did just mention pot. I believe there was a state attorney general.
Right, and our attorney will go over that at the end.
Just a little bit, right. So if there's legislation, and maybe he'll cover this later, if there's legislation that might need to ensure that cities and towns do get to opt out, just because a state attorney does that, I don't know that necessarily means it's locked in law, but if we need to lobby our representatives to say we'd like, you know, let's make that the, a little more ironclad, perhaps. So something I'd be interested in, at least. With regard to the bypass, we've heard funding and whatnot, and so the rest are transportation items for me, at least the ones that I'm interested in. With a bypass, I don't know. I mean, is that ever really going to get done? And to that end, we have had a transportation issue here in town that many of us, Councilmember Cutterback, Councilmember Williams, myself, Councilmember Gamble, who lives near the area, the possibility of connecting 191st down to Galaxy Way. And I know a number of years ago there was a possibility for that. And I know in the past we've just gotten a stone cold no from them. And yet I have a conflict with the bypass. Will it ever actually get done? And in my gut, it's no, probably not. I mean, where are they going to get the money for that? And if so, we just have this road that could be built. And by the time they do get the money for the bypass, couldn't they just, you know, design a little something over that, you know, when I'm thinking, you know, why not do that? And I remember talking to at least Representative Pearson in the back. He's Senator Pearson now, but at the time Representative, and I believe he's in a much more influential position now, perhaps, with regard to transportation. So at least if someone's down there, I'd love to see. I mean, are they, come on, I mean, like, come on, bypass, really? I mean, you know, let's connect it. Now, I understand from a, I think Brad's mentioned it from an engineering standpoint before, there's a ton of water in that hill and there's quite a bit of stuff that might need to be done. But, I mean, we've talked about from a safety standpoint, from, you know, I think there's economic development benefits to that. There's a lot of things that, you know, safety being the number one, we've talked about that for a long time. We heard about it from residents years ago while we were campaigning. It's an important issue. There's not a second way out of that. You know, let's at least ask. You know, let's get, you know, if we don't ask, well, you know, it's guaranteed to be no, right? So. At least from that standpoint, I'd love to see, you know, let's have a win there. Let's press that. Let's keep pressing. You know, why not? So, hey, you know, as soon as the, we'll redesign something over it whenever that bypass is going to come through. Maybe it's an underpass.
Yeah, underpass.
That one, and then, and to me, that's more of a lobbying effort. That'll take more than just, you know, a couple of days at the end of January. That's a really want this, and what other legislators might we need to be able to reach out to? Yeah, those are mine. Thank you.
Council, any other? Okay, Councilmember Gehring mentioned the marijuana legislation, and I did ask the question. First, would you like to leave the bullet share new marijuana revenue on the list? The on the one hand, if it is something that has to come into our town, do you want to share in the revenue? On the other hand, you know, if it's yeah, so that would be the question. If it's something that comes into our town, just like liquor or something like that, we share in the revenue from that use being here if it has to be here. You know, on the other hand, you just say no because of you know where it comes from. So what would council like on that? You know, you could certainly make a motion and a vote, or I could just look for consensus so I know whether to remove it from the list. And I think Councilmember Gamble had it first, and then Councilmember Camp.
I see it differently. I mean, this mm-hmm. is the list of what we are wanting to basically lobby when we go down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not really looking at how would we lobby or go about if it does, because it's not right now. Does that make do you
yeah,
see
yeah.
where I'm going with
uh-huh.
this?
Uh-huh.
Kind of too. I mean, our first, the general consensus from after the last public hearing that we had, both amongst the council and everybody that, you know, presented, you know, we are very much that we, you know, we want to lobby or we want to put out there that we support the Attorney General's most recent ruling, and we'd probably like to see something on the books from a legislative perspective,
mm-hmm.
And that would be our first stance. And that's what we, in my opinion, that's what you would go with.
Yeah. Not this.
And then you wouldn't go to that unless we are told, you wouldn't shift to that unless you were told you absolutely have to, because I mean, I just don't think it's the right way to go.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand.
That. But, you know, if, and then, you know, that, I think it would be much more beneficial to our, you know, just to stick with, no, this is what, from a city perspective, from a council, and this is what we would like to see.
And that would be the question, is that if you can't prohibit it, if you can't get them to change it, do you want to take revenue from something you disagree with to begin with? Do you see what I'm saying? If it ends up if we can't have legislation to prevent it, do you still want to take revenue from it? So I understand what you're saying. You go in and say we'd like you to pass the opt-out legislation. Okay, and then not even talk about the sharing in revenue is what I'm understanding.
I think it conflicts the...
Mm-hmm. No, I understand, yeah. That's why I'm asking the question.
Mixes your message.
I wouldn't include it at all, personally.
Okay. Anything else, Councilmember Gamble?
No.
Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. I think you made the same point I did, but could you repeat what you just said about the opting out versus if we are forced to?
What I'm understanding is that council would prefer to just go in with a message of we would like you to develop legislation that will allow us to opt out,
right?
And that we would pull the share of the revenue off of this list because. I understand, and I understand that if you don't want a use here, the state forces the use to be here. Do you still want to profit from that use that you didn't want here, but you were forced to put here? Is that
so? If I understand correctly, if our first option is can we opt out,
mm-hmm.
if we cannot opt out,
do you still want to take revenue from a use you didn't agree with to begin with?
And I'm sorry, I was going. Was that your position?
No, basically what I'm saying is that we're talking about what we want to go in and have a conversation
yeah, yeah.
with.
Right, I understand
And I don't
that,
think
yep.
you want to mix,
absolutely not.
You know, the message where
okay.
you go in and you know, I have lobbied before. You
yeah.
don't, you don't go in there and say, you know, this is how we feel. But
if we have to.
and yeah. then you go through and, you know, the other. It's just, no, this is the feeling and this is what we'd like to see. We agree with the Attorney General's most recent ruling.
Right.
And beyond that, we would like to see something presented before the House and, you know, and
period.
So we, would,
exactly.
so we
period.
Would,
yeah.
we wouldn't include that line at all.
Correct.
At this point, we're just, if we can't have the opt-out, we'll consider whatever our options are later.
Yeah, what I'm understanding, and I'll see if other council members have thoughts, but what I'm understanding from the three of you is that you would prefer that the bullet just be struck and replaced with we want opt-out legislation.
Yes.
Okay. And I see head nods. It's not an official vote, but it is, I'm understanding that is consensus. Okay. The next item that was brought up was, Councilmember Gehring brought up, was the 191st. We can certainly have a conversation with our state legislators and senator about, hey, you know, we'd like to connect this and we'd like to include it in our transportation plan that we're working on as part of the 2015 comp plan, and we just want to be able to make this connection.
What? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think it is a part of the transportation plan, if I'm not mistaken. We did put it on the list.
FR7.
FR7 is parallel to it.
FR7 is parallel on the north side.
Different. But that's in the transportation list, but 191st is not. So FR7 is back, would be behind all those houses in Sinclair Heights. That would still come back out to Chain Lake Road at about the Seventh Day Adventist Church. But it's still essentially
correct.
You're still
but
only
it's the intent of that was Second Access Road.
True.
It was the same. I mean, our intent was that, and the only reason why we put that on there is because of what you're talking about.
Because we couldn't get this one.
Basically, what you're saying is, you know, we had the fist, or the, not fist, the hand.
We had the hand.
In regards to crossing, you know, the bypass, you know, property, so.
And Chain Lake crosses it every day, and Woods Creek crosses it every day. All these roads cross it every
day. I don't care which one. I mean, from a safety, I mean, really what we're talking about is a second access out there, so we don't have a repeat of what happened, and I can't remember the year off the top of my head. 2007, 2008, 2009.
There was a fire right at the corner.
There was a fire right at the corner at the end of the road, and every citizen that lived in there, I mean, emergency services, everything was blocked off for, you know, 4 to 6 hours.
Yep. Okay. So I'm understanding that we have an interest in having the flexibility to connect down the 191st to Galaxy. Is that consensus? Okay. All right. Is there anything else? Anything else?
I'm getting my light a lot. Sorry.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. And one more would be streamlined sales tax. We're a sales tax city, and that killed us a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to continue to lobby to let us keep stuff bought in Monroe, even if the people don't live in Monroe, and we'd like to keep that sales tax here because they bought it here in Monroe.
Okay, and what that is that they, being the state, had given those cities that had higher rates of sales tax that when the streamlined sales tax went into effect, also called sourcing.
You mean shifting to the county?
Yeah, shifting to other jurisdictions that are bedroom communities, that we ended up losing quite a bit of sales tax revenue here. And so there is a sort of mitigation, they call it streamlined sales tax mitigation, right? And that is slowly reducing, just like the I-695 with the car tab slowly reduced over time and ended up defunding what we did with streets. So here we have something similar with the streamlined sales tax. When does that sunset? I don't think it sunsetted in the 5 year, did it?
No, it's still in effect.
Yeah.
Okay, and it is reducing every year a little bit, if I remember correctly. Okay, and so you'd like to see that continue then?
I would like to see, quite frankly, I'd like to see the legislation go away. It was to our benefit. It was to cities' benefits before, and I know it will never go away, but I still want it's. If you don't ask, you know, the worst, you're guaranteed to get a no, right? So I think generally it's bad legislation. It has hurt our town. It's hurt towns like our town that are sales tax-oriented. I know some places are out of business now, but even Candy Creek Cabinets, you know, it's built here, it's manufactured here, but they ship it to somebody who doesn't live in Monroe, and the sales tax goes with it. I mean, that, to me, is wrong. You bought it here in Monroe. The sales tax should stay here. And with streamlined sales tax, that sales tax leaves. And so, again, I think it's been bad for us. Probably not going to get changed, but, you know, I want to ask every time we go down there.
You know? Council? Councilmember Cutterback has the light.
No, I'm agree. I think it has hurt a town like ours. We have a lot of manufacturing in the Frylands where that sales tax is gone. I've had conversations with Bill Weaver multiple times and how, you know, when that changed, his tie to the city wasn't as strong because the sales there weren't really benefiting the city. A lot was being shipped out. I wonder if you could put a call out maybe to a couple other smaller towns or mayors to see if they would be willing to also bring this up, because I would think it would hurt other towns kind of our size. I mean, people are shipping stuff to Seattle and other places, and people are getting things. You know, big population places are what are benefiting from that because they're pulling things into there. So,
I agree.
And what it does is it... Those cities those jurisdictions that generate the jobs, because you've got the manufacturing base, used to receive the sales tax from things like cabinetry sales or vehicles and things like that. And by doing this shift, what's happened is that those of us, those cities that have that manufacturing base now don't have the sales tax to maintain the roads and other infrastructure that support that economic, that employment center that's in the city. So it's not necessarily just the smaller cities, because there are smaller cities that have benefited from this because they're bedroom communities. They don't have an employment cluster like we do, but it's those cities that have the employment cluster that then end up getting hurt more from this shift. So, okay, we'll go ahead and we'll keep that down on the list, and I don't know if I'll have an opportunity to talk to mayors before next week, but noted, and sure. I understand it was something that bothered me when I was on council. Mm-hmm. So, okay, anything else? All right, seeing nothing else, we'll go ahead and move on to council member reports, and we'll start with council member Cutterback. Oh, wait, do we have one more item?
Final action.
Yes, we have one more item. That's because I put a mark next to final action. I'm sorry about that. Thank you, Councilmember Gehring. The next item that we have up is appoint city representatives to various boards and committees. And Mr. Brazel.
I just wanted to let council know that we did get some correspondence from Councilmember Hanford, and he expressed interest in continuing on the legislative committee. So I wanted to let everybody know that. So. Other than that, this is routine business for us that we do every year, reappoint council members to different boards and commissions and the like, and we have had great success with the council committees the last few years, and I'm excited for that to continue. So I'm just looking forward to the discussion this evening.
Okay, so I see that Councilmember Gehring has pushed his button. No, it's okay. That's why the button's there. So the question that I have is that we have multiple committees, and do we want to go through them starting with the first one and just work through them that way, or do you want to just...
If I may, there's a little an easier way we've done it. Councilmember Balk used to do it that way in the past. And anyway, I have my light on, but so I'll...
Yeah. Okay, well... Council, do you want to take it from A to B to C to D, or do you want to do it the alternate way that that I don't know what it is?
Well, we did.
Okay, so seeing no preference, I'm going to go ahead and recognize Councilmember Gehring, and we'll go that way.
Thanks.
Yep.
Last time we just kind of stayed with what we had, unless somebody really wanted to switch. I think, and if I may suggest, I think we had Councilmember Williams on finance.
We did.
And I think Councilmember Rasmussen has a background in banking and may be interested in serving on that, certainly. But I've had an opportunity to serve on all of them, and I think Councilmember Cutterback's had an opportunity to serve on many of them. So I was just going to suggest let's keep it the same and plug in Councilmember Rasmussen wherever Councilmember Williams was. But people may want to switch. So we, as a starting point, I just... start there, and honestly, I don't have a preference. I'm fine staying where I am, but if somebody else wants to try to do legislative affairs, I'm open to that too. Anyway, it should be open.
Well, I'm fine with that. I mean,
Did you want to change something else, Councilman?
Or are you looking at me?
Yeah.
and I do have Councilmember Camp who has pressed his button as well. So before we get started on a process, Councilmember Camp, do you want to...
Well, I was going to make my request for the process. I don't know if I should do it now or...
No, request for the process would be okay. Right now before we move down.
Okay. I've served on the Snohomish County Tomorrow for a year, and it was very interesting. I really would like to try the French Creek Flood Control District Joint Board, if I can get a replacement for the Snohomish County.
Okay, so do
you
so there's the city, so there's the city legislative committees, right? And that's item C on here. We've also got item A, B, mm-hmm. and D on here. Item A is the French Creek Flood Control District Joint Board. Item B is Snohomish County tomorrow. It sounds like Councilmember Camp would like to make a switch on that. And then item C is what you all were talking about with the legislative affairs and everything. And then the last one is the two members to review and sign for approval of bills. Shall we go ahead and start with the French Creek Flood Control District and just go point by point through? Is that? Okay. So the first one then is French Creek Flood Control District Joint Board. You can see the description of what it does there in 2013. That was former Councilmember Williams, that was on there, and we don't need to worry about staff. So who would like to serve on Councilmember Camp would like to serve on the French Creek Board.
Do you want to make motions all at one time, or are you wanting to do them in?
No, I think we do them individually. So Councilmember Gehring.
I move to appoint Councilmember Camp to the French Creek Flood Control District Joint Board.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. Do I have a second? I have a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay, 6-0. Congratulations. You are now on the Flood Creek Flood Control Joint Board.
Wow, medal?
Okay, the next one is the Snohomish County tomorrow. Councilmember Camp was on that. He has indicated he does not want to serve on that. No doubt you could make a motion to put him on that. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. I had an opportunity to do it for 2 years and been alternate for one. It's actually a really great way. I hope that somebody else would want to be able to take it up. It's Wednesday nights, once a month at 6:30, downtown at the PUD building in Everett. You get to meet a lot of other elected officials. You get to meet your county officials. Mm-hmm. They're talking about all kinds of planning and transportation issues countywide. I found it really, I just can't do it on Wednesday nights, but I did it for a couple of years. I think it's valuable to
you. You could do it.
A great way to meet other council members. So.
Okay. Councilmember Cuddeback?
Yes, I would like to do it.
Okay, Councilmember Cuddeback has expressed an interest. Councilmember Gamble?
Move to appoint Councilmember Cuddeback to the Snohomish County tomorrow.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gamble. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Now for the alternate. Anybody interested in serving as alternate?
I'll do
that. Councilmember Camp is volunteering. Do I have a motion?
So
Councilmember Gehring and Councilmember Gamble,
second.
First and second. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Okay, before we get to the legislative committees, let's go ahead and go down to D because that's simple, and then we'll come back and deal with the other ones. Okay, so two council members to review and sign the for approval of the bills. We had council members Davis and Camp for 2013. Councilmember Gehring has pushed his button. Councilmember Gehring?
I move for Councilmember Gamble and Councilmember Gehring to review and sign the bills.
Okay, I have a motion for Gehring and Gamble. I have a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. All right, let's go back up to assigned council legislative committee members. The first one we have is legislative affairs. Who's on that right now?
Councilmember Davis, Councilmember Hanford, and myself.
All right, council members, is there anybody that is, who would like to serve on the board, on the committee? Sir?
Unless you want to switch in and out, I would suggest leaving it the same, unless somebody else wants to swap out, and I'll swap out if somebody wants to swap out.
Council, you can certainly make a motion for all three of them to be on the committee again. Councilmember Camp?
So moved.
Councilmember Camp has made a motion
second.
For Davis, Hanford, and Gehring all to be on the committee, and Councilmember Gehring has seconded. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. The second one is transportation, and who's currently on that?
Councilmember Cuddeback, Davis, and
Camp. And I would like to be off.
Okay, Councilmember Camp would like to be pulled off. Councilmember Davis, would you like to stay on? Okay, Councilmember Rasmussen, you had your hand up.
Sorry. I'd be interested in coming on transportation and planning.
Okay, anybody else interested in being on that committee? Okay, somebody can make a motion for Cuddeback, Davis, and Rasmussen on the committee.
So
Councilmember
moved.
Camp has made the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 6-0. Next one is the Finance and Human Resources Committee. Who's currently on that committee?
Was Williams.
Okay. Williams.
Campbell.
Okay, and former Councilmember Williams does not want to serve on that right now. So I heard discussion earlier for Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Rasmussen, are you interested?
You've already got one.
Yeah, I'm already on one right now.
Okay, who would like to? Is there anybody that would like to volunteer themselves for Councilmember Williams' position?
I'll do it.
Councilmember Gehring says that. Quote, I'll do it. Okay, so we currently have Councilmember Gamble in camp, and then we have Councilmember Gehring volunteering. Do I have a motion for the three of them? Okay, motion from Councilmember Gamble. Second was Councilmember Davis. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. All right, great job. Now we'll go ahead and move on to council member reports. Council member Cuddeback.
Just a question here. I see it says Snohomish County tomorrow steering committee is January 22nd. So is the steering committee different than Snohomish County tomorrow?
Yes, it is.
That was a committee on that. So I'm just trying to figure out if I have to attend tomorrow. Would that be a no? Can somebody let me know maybe tomorrow?
Paul, are you familiar with the steering committee?
I'm thinking that the steering committee is more of a staff administrative function. I know that I sit on the Snohomish County Tomorrow Fighting Workers Committee.
Okay.
And we, our actions go to the steering committee before they go to the
okay.
I think the steering committee is a smaller group.
Just a smaller group of that.
Yeah, and they're certainly on the website.
Okay.
Somebody will get back to you
before
tomorrow
morning.
It looks
like it's the fourth Wednesday of every month, so at least that's what it says in there.
Okay. So, Councilmember Cuddeback, you have the floor for Councilmember reports.
Just remind people of the Jamie Bendel run this Sunday, the 26th, at Sky River Park. I believe it starts at 10. Yep. So I will be there. So it's a great cause if you can have the time and go out there and support them. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I just want to reiterate a point that Paul made earlier regarding the workshop on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And Paul, feel free to correct me if I misheard you, but the comment I heard that I wanted to reiterate is that council, mayor, staff, everyone has a part in economic development in Monroe, bringing economic to Monroe. So I just want to echo that, reiterate that, because I think that is a great statement and something we should all be have on the forefront of our mind. That's all I have.
Thank you, Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Camp.
Nothing. Thank you.
Councilmember Davis.
Nothing tonight.
Councilmember Gamble.
I just wanted to recognize Councilmember Hanford's not with us tonight. I know he mentioned that before, but his thoughts and prayers with him and his family as they go through their grieving process there of losing a family member. Also wanted to mention, I did, for those of you that don't know, I do have a few kids in sports. We attended a AAU basketball tournament up in Ferndale this weekend, and it was just, you know, a reminder for me. We just had the baseball field discussion, and we talk a lot about our parks and what type of economic or fuel does that bring in, and the dollars that come in for those assets. And spending the weekend up in Ferndale, the hotels were completely filled. It was the Chelsea Ebert Jam. It's their was a 12th annual jam for basketball, girls basketball. And hotels were filled. They had schools, the courts from Ferndale to Linden to Bellingham, across where they had, girls in from fifth grade all the way into high school. And just to see when you went into the different restaurants and just the community, the amount of different teams that were, purchasing goods and services across the boards and filling the, it was just a reminder that those are important assets, and that partnership you know, with schools is a very good thing, you know, and seeing, you know, and seeing that. And then also the business partnership that was associated. She had, you know, I got to see, you know, you got to see the schools participating. You also had the chamber. You also had the city. And then the local businesses, when I can't remember the name of the, I was trying to find it here, the station where there was, you know, they did very much like a North Kelsey type project where you had a lot of businesses in there. And they sponsored, you know, the program. And then you had discounts if you went and you used the Quiznos that was in the station and that sort of thing. If you presented your program, that sort of thing, and just seeing it all kind of tie in, it was just a good reminder that it's not. You know, a lot of times we talked, you know, in pieces of papers and sheets and all that, but to see it in action and to see, you know, everybody kind of pulling together as a, you know, this. You know, this event, and you know, the other thing is it's also celebrating a girl that, you know, was very passionate about basketball, lost her life in a fight with cancer, and it's commemorating her passion for the game and for her community. I just thought it was, you know, it was kind of timely, and it was a good reminder, and I thought I would share that we are doing the right thing when we partner with our schools and with our business, when we come together and go after stuff like that. So anyway, it was a very good weekend, and the girls... The sixth grade girls team in the silver division, there were 12 teams, took third place, so that was a big deal. The only downside was is they had to pull their third place game was at 3:30 p.m. on Sunday.
Oh.
It really sucked for the parents that had to watch my daughter. That was at the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
But I saw all the other games. But it was a very good event.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. I first of all, I just want to say thanks to Administrator Brazel. I asked a lot of questions this week, and I just appreciate the quick, timely, and detailed responses. Very professional. I really appreciate all the information that you were able to provide. Is there going to be... I did want to ask about the Attorney General ruling, and I didn't know if you meant if that was coming up.
Yep, that's coming up.
So thank you for that. And then... some of the questions that I had this week was regard to some of the things that I'd heard, and I appreciate getting facts. I want to be able to respond to things I hear in the community with facts, and so really appreciate that. Would it be possible to have H3O folks come and just, you know, give us a status update, a presentation on kind of where they're at, what's going on? And we haven't actually heard from them for a while, and we're hearing that they're nearing, you know, the end, completion, or at least groundbreaking or something. So if that's at all possible, it'd be, you know, maybe in a couple of weeks or something.
I think what we'll do is talk with you about adding them to a future agenda.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is...
Or if another council member supports it, I'd prefer to, if we could pick a date.
Update.
And do it. Yeah. And maybe like in 2 weeks, like February 4th or something.
Yeah, that'd be good.
If you would support that.
I'd
love to see that on perhaps the February 4th agenda. We could reach out to them, ask them to come give us an update of what's going on. Just want to make sure everything's going smoothly. And again, I really appreciate all the information you gave with regard to that. Was certainly an education for me, and I appreciate what I was able to learn and the facts behind the details. I don't know what can and can't be said in open session, so I'll just leave it at that. But if we could have that for the 4th, if they're available, it'd be great to have them here that night. Let's just hear what's going on. Just a chance to interact. Excited about it, and look forward to hearing from them if they're available on that night. Other than that, it was exciting to see the Seahawks do well. Monroe was crazy. There were fireworks, which should not have been going off because there were definitely fireworks. It hurt them, but that was very fun. It was lots of excited noise in our community, to be sure, but one of those things that is fun. While it's not specific to Monroe, it's this entire region, and one of those things that just kind of brings everybody together, so it's a lot of fun. Thank you.
Okay, from staff, Mr. Popelka.
A couple quick things. I will share with you next week a more complete update list. One is we had a pre-app meeting last week for Quadrant Homes. You're looking at developing a portion of the homeless property, piece of Roosevelt, and just south and west of the foothills. Below Bear Mountain Estate, that gives you an idea of 50 or 60 lots. The other that just today I heard from a developer that the Cook property has been purchased. This is what, east of the barn, between the barn and Hayman Road, for development and annexation. And that's going to be, may well lead to a citizen-initiated annexation process for us this year. More later.
All right, thank you.
Very, very early stages. This year and next year, we'll be going through that process.
Thank you. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, looking forward to Officer Jimmy Bindle from Memorial Run Sunday as well. And then I just want to pass on to you, talking about hotels and economic development with events, we're finalizing reserving our Fields Discover Park. It'll be March 22nd, 23rd over that weekend with USA Ultimate Frisbee. They're out of Boulder, Colorado, and it's for national tryouts. So
that's awesome.
Very exciting. So in the email I'm looking at, they said, "Oh yeah, this is great. So we can get the location all squared away, and the athletes and their families can begin to book flights, hotels, and cars."
Awesome. Thank you. Ms. Nelson.
Nothing to
report tonight. Okay. Mr. Feilberg.
Nothing
tonight. Chief Quinzer.
So glad you asked. Speaking of hotels, those of you who were thinking about booking the Gray Bar Hotel in Everett, there's booking restrictions, so misdemeanor crimes will not be accepted.
That's
all. Oh, man. That just came about today, so.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Zach, update on the AGO.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Very briefly, just to provide the council by way of a status report of the ongoing saga and continuing evolution of the legal framework governing recreational marijuana in Washington. I think most of you are at least peripherally aware. The State Attorney General issued a formal opinion last Thursday addressing two specific questions that have a direct bearing on the City of Monroe and other similar local municipalities in our state. The first is, can local governments in Washington effectively ban licensed recreational marijuana facilities despite the passage of I-502? And the State Attorney General answered that question in the affirmative. And second, are local jurisdictions preempted or otherwise prohibited by state law from enacting local zoning restrictions that would make it impractical for a recreational marijuana facility to locate in that jurisdiction? And the Attorney General answered that question in the negative. Essentially, both questions are answered favorable to local regulatory authority, and the State Attorney General took a fairly expansive view of local police power in this context. That was kind of an ongoing question, and from the city's standpoint, it's actually very good news in that it reaffirms and reiterates how much regulatory power you have in both in this context and in other, general contexts. I would caution the council a couple of points. First of all, the State Attorney General's opinion, while it's considered persuasive by Washington courts, is not binding. It does not establish precedent in the same way that a reported appellate decision would. The point there is that unless and until this issue is finally resolved, presumably by the state Supreme Court or by the state legislature with some clarification amendments to the existing statutes, this will continue to be an ongoing issue. The other point related to that is there are at least a couple of interest groups that have come out publicly in disagreement with the State Attorney General's position, and they've indicated their intent, their willingness to litigate the point in some future way. They haven't made any specific threats as to particular municipalities, as I understand it, but they've kind of issued a blanket statement to the effect that they strongly disagree with the State Attorney General, and they're not rolling over without a fight. So the bottom line is this is very good news for the city's regulatory power. However, this is a story that continues, and we haven't seen the final chapter with the State Attorney General opinion. be happy to answer any questions that the council would have.
Okay,
I know Mr. Steiner from my office will be advising you further at a future meeting.
And that's what I was going to add, is that we will have a public hearing in about 2 weeks, and that that he'll be here at that hearing. So, yes?
If we choose to have him here, yeah. We haven't scheduled it as of yet. But.
Okay. And so if you have questions tonight, that's fine. If you would like to have more discussion on this, that they'll be back in a couple weeks as well. Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. I just have one quick question. We had a resident stand up and talk about the opt-out possibility, and she was told that the legislative body had to wait 2 years to make any changes to the initiative since it was passed. Do you guys remember that?
Yep.
So, didn't know, as we're about to go down, maybe do Olympia and talk about an opt-out option, didn't know if there was, you know, anything we should be aware of, or if that's true, that the legislative body would have to wait.
And I'm personally unaware of that issue. I'd be happy to look into that and get back to the council, but that's not something that I've personally looked into up to now.
Okay.
And I guess I'd have to understand the question more in context.
Okay.
I can speak with Mr. Brazel about that offline.
And maybe we can talk after.
I guess the question would be, is there a period where the state legislature cannot alter something that's been an initiative that's been passed by the
sure.
people?
Okay.
And I think that's what she was referencing.
Okay. I thought this was on an individual municipality basis, but you're talking about
changes
to the
state legislature.
There is a provision to that effect. I don't know the time frame offhand, but I can look into that and get back to you.
Thank you. Anything else?
Good point.
Thank you for clarifying my question.
Okay. Brad. I'm sorry, Gene.
Me too?
Yes. Yes, you too. Brad, you've already gone. Gene.
Thank you, Mayor. Just wanted to let council know that we've advertised and received lots of applications for our board openings, like for the library board, the parks board, the ethics board. So today, or this evening, the mayor and I had our first interview, first of many this week, and staff will be joining us on a few of those interviews. So we're excited that we've got so many people that are interested in serving our community. One of the other things I'll just make council aware of real quick is that we were the idea came about of a 12th man flag in the community and where that could be hung. Okay. And so we've looked at that. We've talked with Zach about the do's and don'ts and what we can and can't do on the American flag pole. And I think one of the things that we've decided to probably do is if we can get one donated come into one somewhere, we would probably hang it over Main Street where the downtown banners hung. So that's kind of where we landed on that issue. So if you see one there, that's where it came from. So hopefully we can come up with one, whether it's donated or however we achieve one, that would be great to be able to hang that. Pardon me?
What's that?
You're going to drop one off?
Yeah, you can borrow mine.
Oh, there you go.
Do any council members have any concerns about that? My original thought was to consider putting it on, you know, below the American flag just for the Super Bowl, and that the idea perhaps that we could use something similar for like homecoming and things like that, you know, for a Bearcat flag or something. But if because of other things that we thought about, the idea was to put it in the downtown instead. So anyway, that's the genesis of that idea.
Absolutely.
So for now, we'll just put it in the downtown, but if anybody has preference anywhere else, let us know, please. Also, there are cities in the area that are using their construction signs, putting out next to highways, you know, go Seahawks and things like that, and we may see a couple of those things sort of pop up from some of our local businesses and whatnot over the next couple weeks. So, nice hat.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Full support.
All right. Anything else, Gene?
I think that's it. Thank you.
All right. As was already pointed out, we have a number of interviews on Thursday. For those of you that may not be aware, I'm in the office from here in City Hall from about 1 o'clock until about 5 o'clock on Thursdays. I'm actually here as early as noon quite frequently. So If for some reason you want to meet with me, those half days do get filled up pretty quickly, and certainly it's packed this Thursday, and I will not be there Thursday afternoon next week. But just for your interest, if you have somebody that wants to come in and meet with me, what have you, there may be some availability on those Thursdays. I think that's all I had. Is there anything else that I might be? Okay. All right. So that's all I have. Is there a motion for adjournment?
Do we do future agenda?
Oh, yeah, let's do the future agenda. Yeah, let's do next week, and then we'll look at the future agenda. Go for it.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah.
Tuesday, January 28th, 2014. Drafted agenda. Under announcements and presentations, we've actually decided to move this out to February 4th because of the overwhelming interest in serving in our boards and committees, so that'll be pushed out to February 4th. We've got the consent agenda, unfinished business, council legislative priorities.
Gene, if I may, Mr. Brazel, if I may, I think we'd asked for that twice in a row. I'm just thinking, do we need that for next week as well? It sounds like we had a pretty comprehensive discussion tonight.
I would tend to agree. I think that we're pretty much there.
And you know what?
I'd be okay with removing that one off if the rest of council agrees.
I think it was just put on in case
just in
we
case.
Didn't.
Indeed.
Yeah. And then our new business, we have the discussion of reorganization of the planning department, and that's to get into the details a bit more of future plans for the department and how to respond to all the work that we have in front of us.
Yeah, and if it's okay with council, I'd like to move that to February 4th, as I'd like to follow up with council after a meeting that I had from Thursday last week. Is that okay with council?
That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. We're still having the public hearing on the 4th, though, for the Maryland land use.
We are.
So
I don't see the public hearing on here, though.
But this is the 28th.
I'm sorry, I thought you said the 4th. You're moving it out to the 4th?
Yes.
I was just afraid that it was going to get too full with the public hearing.
I guess I'm confused. I thought the public hearing that we extended last week was for the 28th, not the 4th.
No, it's for the 4th.
It is
for
the 4th.
The attorney will be here.
So do we have any business for next week then?
Looks like we're running out of things.
I think we've moved everything off.
We can certainly, council could take action to cancel the meeting.
Well, so are there any discussion items before we just take the motion? Is there anything that council would like to have on the 28th? Okay. Seeing none, Councilmember Gehring, I think you're going to make a motion.
In which case I move to cancel the January 28th, 2014 City Council meeting.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion from Councilmember Gehring and a second from Councilmember Camp. I'm sorry. Is that Camp?
Davis.
Any discussion? All right. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Okay. Go ahead. All right. Okay. Do we have any other business tonight?
No.
Okay. Seeing no other business, do I have a motion for adjournment? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
The February 4th swearing in of the police officers is doing
All right.
Okay. All right. Councilmember Gamble.
Motion to adjourn.
I have a motion for adjournment from Councilmember Gamble. Do I have a second? Councilmember Rasmussen with a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you.
Just like that, bagged and tagged.
Yeah, you know, I'll take it. Hour and 45 minutes.
You need your rest, don't
you? Yeah, believe me, this is me.
We're eating on Monday.
Yeah, about
out cold. One more good night of rest.